At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Early voter turnout's been strong in the 10 Texas counties with the highest number of registered voters. More than 650,000 people in those counties casted early ballots. Back in 2014, Republicans outvoted Democrats in early voting in these 10 counties, but that had reversed by Friday. Democratic turnout more than doubled from 4 years ago, while Republican turnout rose less than 15%. Factor in population growth in these 10 counties, and Republican turnout was largely unchanged. However, Democratic turnout increased in nearly all 10 counties, including Dallas, Tarrant, Collin, and Denton. Hidalgo County saw a 1% drop in early Democratic voter turnout from 2014. Election day is tomorrow. There's a voter guide at TexasDecides.org. Atmos Energy today is expected to release a progress report on its work to repair gas lines for about 2,800 homes in northwest Dallas. Steel pipes have been partially blamed for a number of gas leaks and a home explosion that killed a 12-year-old girl last month. Dallas State House member Rafael Enchia represents the affected area. Here he is on WFAA's Inside Texas Politics.
If you're in homes that were built in the teens, 20s, and 30s, I don't have a lot of confidence that that infrastructure is in good shape if it has not been replaced. We need to understand what the replacement schedule is, what time frames we're looking at, and we need to actually see a map of where the old infrastructure is.
The spokeswoman for the Texas Railroad Commission, which regulates utility companies, told the Dallas Morning News it has never ordered a blanket replacement for steel pipelines. In 2011, the commission instead adopted a rule directing gas utility companies to survey their lines, determine the biggest potential threats for failure, and come up with a replacement plan. Atmos has refused to say which parts of Dallas have steel pipes. The company's spokeswoman said identifying them would pose a security risk. Ovarian cancer affects about 1% of women, but it has a high mortality rate, about 14,000 deaths each year. Still, new guidelines recommend women at low risk for the disease should avoid screenings for it. In today's Vital Signs, I found out why from Dr. Matt Carlson, a gynecologic cancer specialist with UT Southwestern Medical Center.
It's a relatively rare disease. Unfortunately, though, we diagnose it at a very late stage most often. That has a lot to do with just the anatomy. The ovaries just kind of sit out in the abdomen and pelvis. A mass can grow there, and many women don't know.
It can go a long time before you can actually sense something is wrong.
Exactly. And so by that time, cancer cells may have found another place within the abdomen to start another tumor, at which point then it would be stage 3 disease, and the survival for that decreases precipitously.
Well, the new guideline recommends against screening for asymptomatic women who are not known to have a high-risk hereditary cancer syndrome. Why?
Basically, it just doesn't work. There were 3 large studies, and they found that the false positive rate for any type of screening that they've done, whether it's with ultrasound or CA125 or some combination thereof, the false positive rate led to a number of unnecessary surgeries. And according to one of the studies, the serious complication rate, whether that was a wound infection or some other complication, was about 15%. So you're essentially doing 10 surgeries to find one cancer. Of those 10 surgeries, about 1 or 2 of them are going to have some sort of complication.
And yet, you can't help but worry about this kind of recommendation, because what we're always told about cancer or any kind of disease, early detection is important. Early detection is important.
And we know that the outcomes are much, much better for early detection. The cure rate for stage 1 disease, meaning disease that's confined to the ovaries, is about 90%. And the cure rate for, you know, advanced disease, stage 3 or stage 4, where it's spread outside the pelvis, drops to 30 to 40%.
For women who are not at high risk, are we talking about fewer screenings for them or none at all?
No screening at all with the CA125 and the pelvic ultrasound. They have shown that those do not help. That's partly due to the lack of specificity of those tests. The ultrasound, yes, it can see things, but we don't know if those are cancerous cysts or masses on the ovaries or if those are just benign. Similarly, the CA125 is really a measure of inflammation of the peritoneum, which is kind of the wallpaper of the abdomen. And so there are a lot of things that can elevate the CA125. Endometriosis, which is a very common condition that many women suffer from, even something as simple as gastroenteritis that we all suffer from time to time, mm-hmm. that can elevate the CA125. So the specificity of those tests is what limits their utility in screening.
You are heading a trial for a better screening method?
Here at UT Southwestern, I'm the primary investigator for using these same things in a different way, the CA125 and ultrasound.
Is it showing promise?
It is. From what I've heard, it may end up going somewhere.
But still too early to tell.
Still too early to tell.
For people who are not at high risk for ovarian cancer, mm-hmm. is there some point, some age maybe, at which they really need to start considering having the test?
We don't recommend having any of these tests in a patient who doesn't show any symptoms or doesn't show a mass on the ovary. What we're encouraging women to do is to pay attention to the symptoms that are unfortunately fairly vague and oftentimes go along with being 40, 50, 60 something. But most women with ovarian cancer will complain of some combination of back pain, bloating, changes in bowel habits, bladder habits, appetite, what's referred to as early satiety, meaning they sit down to a meal, they eat a few bites, and suddenly they feel full. Those are things that we want everyone to pay attention to. And if they are experiencing those, they should go to their physician. And if they're not satisfied with the workup or with the answers that they get, because these symptoms are fairly vague, to press or find someone who will do the workup and make you feel comfortable about what's going on.
Dr. Carlson, thank you for being with me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Sam.